Hey there, birth nerd. You're listening to the Birthworker podcast. My name is Kylie Banks, and I am totally obsessed with birth and equally obsessed with business. And this is the show where I help women turn their passion for birth into a sustainable, profitable, and most importantly, impactful career. All right, let's get into it. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. You are listening to episode 15, and I am recording this from sunny Colorado. I am in Colorado this week because I am speaking at the first ever doula convention, which is going to be in Denver, Colorado this weekend. So the first weekend of October. I'm super excited. And I bet you could guess what I'm talking about because it's what I'm most passionate about, which is taking your birth business online. And that actually fits perfectly with what I want to talk about today, because today I want to dive into online courses. I want to take you behind the scenes and show you essentially the steps to create an online course. And the reason is because I see so many women who are not doing it right. And it sounds like weird to say that because yes, of course, there is no like one right way, but I'm going to take you guys through the 7 steps to create an online course. And this could be an online birth course, an online breastfeeding course, a postpartum course, whatever your niche is, you can take your passion and turn it into an online course that serves those people. And another reason that I'm fired up about online courses right now is I just got through being an affiliate for Amy Porterfield's Digital Course Academy. And there are actually 40 of you, 40 that decided to join me inside Amy's program, which is the program that I took a couple years ago, and it changed my life. And so I'm so excited to walk those 40 women through the entire process of creating an online course. And essentially, I'm going to be telling you guys the steps that I will be working with them to help them create a profitable online course without wasting a bunch of money and wasting a bunch of time. Now, before I jump into these 7 phases, essentially the 7 phases of launching an online course, I just want to tell you why I love online courses so much, because I think that every single doula is going to hit the point in their life where they say, you know, I cannot be on call as much as I need to be on call to make the money to support my family. And typically what happens is that they will quit birth work. They will maybe switch over to like postpartum work so they don't have to be on call. And that's great too. That's an amazing way to do it. But a lot of times they actually just leave birth work altogether. And that's something that I really want you to understand, is that you don't have to be on call 24/7 as a doula for the rest of your life to be in birth work and to share your passion with the entire world. And what better way to do that than to create an online course, to package up the journey that you like to take people through, to package up all your wisdom and all your experience through all your life. Even if you're a new doula, you could totally make an online course because you have all that experience throughout your entire life that you're coming to the table with. So that's why I love online courses. It helps you create massive revenue potentially for your family. Online courses helped me retire my partner so I could become a better doula and be on call more, right? So just because we create online courses doesn't mean we can't be on call anymore. Of course not. Creating an online course allowed me, like I said, to retire my partner. So now I can be on call all the time and I don't have to worry about childcare. I don't have to worry about anything else. I can be on call all the time because I know no matter what, I am making enough money every single month by selling my online course. So I told you that a lot of times when I see people launch courses, and this is like doulas or anybody actually, like any course, when I see people launch courses, I see them only do one phase out of these 7 phases that I'm going to teach you today. And typically what I see people do is they create a course. They just create it. They don't do anything else. And again, we're going to go through the other 7 steps. And you might be listening to this like, well, yeah, like, don't you just have to create a course? No. Absolutely not. And the problem is, I see people pouring their heart into creating this course. They don't know how to sell it. They never validated their idea. They never grew their audience, so they don't have anyone to sell it to. And what happens is they pour their heart into creating this course. Let's say like they pour their heart into creating this birth course. and then no one buys it. And then they say, my course sucks. I suck. This isn't working. Nothing's working. I don't know what to do. And so that's why I'm creating this episode. And that's what I hope to help you understand, is that you can't just create a course and put it out into the world and you can't expect people to come buy it at all. So let's jump into the 7 phases of launching an online course. These are the exact 7 phases that I use any single time I launch a course. This is not just the first time that you like create a course. So this is every single launch. And just in case someone doesn't know, what a launch is essentially is you are opening the doors to your program for a limited amount of time. You are really talking about your program a lot. You're emailing about your program a lot. You're doing this whole promotion, and then the doors close, and then you do it again a few months later. So that's what a launch is. So here are the 7 phases of launching an online course. Number 1 is grow your audience. Grow your audience. And that has to be number 1. I don't even want you thinking about creating an online course until you're really spending some time growing your audience. Now, if you've ever been in like a mastermind with me, or if you're in my membership or my academy, you know that you essentially need 2 things to create an online business. You need an audience and you need an offer. The important thing that I want to tell you here is that you want to grow your audience before you create that offer. And why is that so important? It's important because after you grow your audience, you're going to actually turn to them to see what they even want. We don't want to create online courses that we need, because we're not the person who's going to buy it, right? We want to create online courses that the people want, that people are actually going to buy. We want to be able to sell it using the words that they use, using the pain points that they use, highlighting like the outcome that they want to achieve, right? But we can't know all of that unless we have an audience first, so then we can survey them and ask them what they want. So that's step 1, grow your audience. And I'm not talking about just Instagram. If you've listened to a couple episodes of this podcast, you probably know that I am a huge fan of growing your email list. So the purpose of social media is to get people on your email list. And all of this is included in that first phase, which is grow your audience. Now, there is no magic number, but there is a number that I want to give you. And that number is 500 people on your email list. If you can bust your butt, grow your social media, grow your email list, and get your email list to 500 people, you are more than ready to launch an online course, more than ready. Now, I'll say the reason that I say 500 people is that something else that I see happen all the time is that someone creates an online course, a doula creates an online course, but they don't even have an email list, right? They don't even have an audience. And then they say, like I said before, this course sucks. No one wants me. No one likes it. Something's wrong. Let me make something different. But there was nothing wrong with the course, or rather, we don't know if there's anything wrong with the course. It's way too early to decide that, because nobody even saw it. Nobody even clicked to the sales page. Nobody even opened your emails, or maybe you didn't even send any emails because you didn't have an audience, right? So, and I want to circle back, because I did say that this is something that I still do. So before launch, I am growing my audience. And you might look to my Instagram at The Autonomy Mommy and be like, Kylie, you have 30,000 followers. Why do you need to grow your audience to create a course? But here's the thing. I know that in order for my course to be successful, I need people engaged. I need people on my email list who are ready to buy. And so for instance, you look at my 30,000 followers and you say, oh my God, there's so many people that could buy her course. But if I'm selling my course for pregnant people, if I'm not refreshing my Instagram constantly, if I'm not gaining new followers constantly, before I know it, none of my followers are going to be pregnant, because they're going to have their baby and they'll still follow me, but they're not going to buy my course because they're not pregnant anymore, right? So I always have to grow my audience. I am doing that organically. I'm doing that through Facebook ads. So Facebook ads, I actually just recorded a video for Birthworker Academy and the Birthworker membership about Facebook ads, because it's something that you can do for as little as like $5 a day, and you can massively grow your audience. Now, this grow your audience phase, start it today. Start it today. Even if creating an online course is just an idea for you, like maybe it's a goal for 2023, start growing your audience today and take it very seriously. And don't even move on to these next phases until you start growing your audience. You don't have to wait till you have 500 email subscribers to launch a course. You don't have to, but I just want to let you know that if you're launching a course and you have less than 500 subscribers on your email list, the results probably are not going to be what you're looking for. And that's okay. You can launch a course and not have fantastic results as long as you're not beating yourself up over it. If you launch a course and you don't have a big audience and you don't make any sales, instead of saying, "This sucks, it's not working, something's wrong," I want you to say, "Of course, I didn't have a big enough audience. Let's do it again," right? Look at it analytically. So that's phase one, grow your audience. Phase two is validate your idea for your course. And we chatted about this a tiny bit. So once you grow your audience, once you start getting an email list, you're going to start creating connection with them, having conversations with them, and asking them what they are looking for in a birth course or a postpartum course or a mindset course, whatever you want to create. And my favorite way to validate this idea, I've never shared this publicly. This is one of my favorite little tips that I share inside Birthworker Academy and my membership. But my favorite way to validate your course idea is Instagram stories. And it's actually using the poll feature. And so I use the poll feature and I ask people, let's say I want to create a birth course. I use the poll feature and I say, "Hey, followers, has anyone ever taken an online birth course before?" And I give them four options to choose from. And if you're driving your kids to school or something like that, and you can't actually write these down, circle back, come and look at the blog. Every episode we turn into a blog. And so you can just go check out the blog and find these questions. But to find the blog, it's birthworker.com/15. So you're going to do a poll on your Instagram stories. You're going to say, "Hey, has anyone ever invested in a birth course before?" or whatever your topic is. And you're going to give them four options to choose from. The first one is, "Yes, I've taken a birth course and I loved it." Then we have, "Yes, I've taken a birth course and I hated it." And we have, "No, I have not taken a birth course, but I want to." And, "No, I have not taken a birth course and, you know, I really don't want to. It's not my thing." And I'm going to put that poll up to validate my idea. And what I'm going to do is I am going to DM every single person who responded to this poll and ask them very specific questions depending on what they answered. So if they said, "Yes, I've taken a birth course before and I loved it," I'm going to ask them, "Which course did you take? Why did you love it? How was it delivered? Was it live? Was it pre-recorded? How much did it cost? Was there anything you didn't like about it?" Right? And all of these questions are giving me great ideas about what people are actually looking for in terms of buying an online birth course, right? The person who responded, "Yes, I took an online birth course and I hated it," that is so powerful. You want to DM them. "Which course did you take? How much did it cost? How long was it? Why didn't you like it? What would have made it better?" Do you see how valuable asking those questions are? The person who says, "No, I haven't taken a birth course, but I would love to." Hey, that person potentially is your future student, right? So have conversations with them. What are they looking for? What kind of lessons would they like? What's the price point that they're looking for? Do they want it live? Do they want it pre-recorded? Do they want community aspects? And really, really take this person seriously and maybe even put them on a special list somewhere because they are already telling you that they haven't taken a course and they are interested. And then the last person who says, "No, I haven't taken a birth course and, you know, it's really not my thing," you might say, "Oh, I don't need to talk to them. They're not interested." No, we need to talk to them. We need to ask them, "Why is it not your thing?" Right? And what you're going to learn from them is probably that they hate the marketing tactics, or they hate that birth courses don't talk about autonomy or mindset, and they're just like priming people for intervention, right? And the things that they tell you that they hate and they don't want to take a birth course for this reason, those are powerful. You can now take what that woman tells you and make sure that the course that you're delivering reflects the things that she hates about it, hates about traditional birth courses, right? And this was powerful when I was creating my birth course, my online birth course, which is called Autonomous Birth Academy. I asked many women these questions. Many women said, no, you know, birth courses aren't my thing. And the conversations I had with those women completely changed the way that I presented my course, right? So they said, you know, the birth industry is kind of icky. It's just priming people for intervention. It's like birth courses are actually pretty gross. And I said, oh, that is exactly how I feel. Thank you for validating that. I'm going to put that front and center on my sales page, in my course, in my webinar, in my email sequences, anywhere I'm promoting this course. I'm using the words that these people gave me through the DMs from the poll from the Instagram stories. So that is how you validate your idea. And you want to do this before you do anything on your course, before you choose a name, before you choose a length, before you choose a price, before you do anything, you want to validate your course idea. And of course, copy and paste their responses if you can. That's why I like doing it in the Instagram DMs rather than like a voice message, because I can literally just copy and paste what they say, create like a massive spreadsheet. And now I have this massive spreadsheet where I can write all of my copy for my sales page. I can write my emails and I can just really speak to what these women are actually looking for using their words, not using what I think they want, but literally using their exact words that they gave me when I was doing that validation. So I actually do that anytime I create anything new. Anytime I create, let's say when I created the membership, I did a validation process. When I created Birth Worker Academy, I did a validation process. Even when I created this podcast or started mapping out the idea for this podcast, I did a validation process. And that's part of the reason why my launches and things that I create are so successful, because I'm not guessing. I'm not saying, I think this is probably what they want. Or I'm not creating like the course that I wanted, though it does kind of turn out that way. But I'm not just doing it based on what I want. No, I'm asking people what they're looking for, and it has given me a lot in return. I listen to my followers, I listen to my audience, and I give them what they want. And in return, they are the best community that I could ever ask for. So that is phase two of launching an online course. The first one was grow your audience. The second is validate your idea. And both of these are things that I do not really see many people doing, if at all. So just doing those two things alone is going to completely change the trajectory and the success of the course that you launch. And phase number three, I also don't see people do. Phase number three is pre-sell your course. Pre-sell your course. I do not want you to create any asset for your course. And an asset means I don't want you to film any videos. I don't want you to make any PDFs. I do not want you to make any scripts. I don't want you to make any landing pages or sales pages until you pre-sell your course. When you pre-sell, and you're going to be doing this, wow, I've done it as early as 4 months before the actual course launch. I've done it just 3 to 4 weeks before a course launch, and both of those work fine for me. The goal here is that you are testing your copywriting, you are testing your market and your audience and testing your offer, and you're just seeing if people even want it. And you're doing this before you create anything. You know why? Because there's a chance that nobody wants it. There is a chance that nobody wants your course. And there is actually a decent chance that nobody wants your course. And that's okay, because we want to pre-sell to find out if they want it. And if they don't want it and they don't buy, we're not going to make it. Or we're going to go back and validate again. And we're going to work on our copywriting, and we're going to work on our design, and we're going to work on our checkout page, and we're going to think about our pricing and think about the offer and try and launch it again. But the reason that I want you to pre-sell is a situation that we've talked about many times here, where someone creates a course and nobody buys it. And they think, my course sucks. You know, this isn't working. I'm going to quit. The first thing is that they probably didn't grow an audience. The second thing is they probably didn't validate their idea. And the third thing is that all of this could be avoided if they just did a pre-sell and they just tried to pre-sell their course. So how I do my pre-sale is through Instagram and my email list. I typically have people get on a wait list at least a week in advance, and I send out 5 emails over 5 days, and I invite people to join my course. Why would they want to join a month early or 4 months early before the actual course is created? Because they are getting the founding member price, a very big discount for trusting me without actually knowing essentially what's going to go in this course. And you might be thinking too, why would someone prepay? Why would someone prepay? And the reason is that you have spent so much time creating this audience that you actually now have people that say, wow, I'm going to buy whatever she creates because I just trust her so much and I vibe with her so much and I love the way that she presents herself and I love the way that she shows up on Instagram and in my inbox and email that I'm going to buy. And you know what? People do. When I did a pre-sale for Birthworker Academy, I had 70 people join. 70 people joined knowing that they would have to wait 4 months and knowing that the course is not created. I just had an idea at that point. I didn't actually have any outline or anything, but they trusted me enough because the way that I show up and the way that I grow my audience and because I validated my idea and I spoke directly to what they wanted and they trusted me. So pre-sell your course. Now, phase number 4 is the phase that most people do, which is create the course. And so I don't want you creating a course until after you pre-sell it, right? Because again, if no one buys it, we're not going to create it. We're not going to spend our time creating something that no one wants. We're going to go back to the drawing board. And that's why create is after. Grow your audience, validate your idea, pre-sell. You don't just jump into creating. You don't just say, oh, I have this idea, let me film some videos. It's not going to serve you. So now when it comes to creating the course, that's actually something that people look at and say, oh my gosh, this is like the hardest part. What tech do I use? How do I film? What do I put in my background of the video? How do I edit? How do I make the lighting look good? And I remember it like it was yesterday because I just created my first online course less than 2 years ago. My gosh, like a year and a half ago, I created my course. Man, time flies. Anyway, I remember so clearly that I thought creating the course, like recording the videos, was like so scary and the hardest part of this entire process. And it's normal to think that because it's something that most of you have probably never done before. But I want to let you know that creating the course is not as scary as we think it is. The tech is not as scary as we think it is. You can record the video on your phone with just your phone's microphone. You can edit it in like iMovie, or you can buy ScreenFlow. ScreenFlow is awesome. You pay for ScreenFlow just one time. And you know, you learn by doing, and it's actually not that hard. So I just wanted you to hear that from me and know that it doesn't have to be so like daunting and it doesn't have to be so scary to actually film and create, especially when you're following all of these phases. And especially when you're doing them in this order, because it's just going to feel so awesome to like create the course that people already bought in a pre-sale, right? And at this point, you know that your offer is validated. You feel validated as a doula, right? You're like, wow, people really trust me. People want to pay me money for my knowledge. And just that feeling in itself too, oh, it just makes everything so much easier once you make that first sale. So that's why we pre-sell before we create. Now, after you actually create the course, so that means filming the videos and making the PDFs, right? After you do all of that, the course is created, then you launch your course. So launching your course means you have a doors open and a doors close, probably about 7 days long, 1 week long, and you are just going hard. You are emailing your audience probably every day. You're probably sending 10 emails over 7 days. You're talking about your course on Instagram, and it's just really like 100% full steam promotion mode. And after you launch your course, then it's time to deliver it. So launch is phase 5. To be honest, I could talk about launching for like 20 hours straight, probably. So we're not going to be talking about launching really specifically in this episode. I just wanted to give you like the over the overview and the flow so you understand that you can't just create a course and then think that people are going to buy it, right? So we won't dive into launching, but after you launch, then we go into the sixth phase, which is deliver your course. Now, it's really important that if you're creating a more like comprehensive course, like if we're talking like, you know, $300, $400, $500, $2,000, anything above, let's say $300, the delivery is really, really important. And I know a lot of people when they're starting, because this was me, a lot of people when they're starting, they say, I don't want to show up live. I can't show up live. I don't want to do Zoom calls. I don't want to do live webinars. I'm just like so awkward. And like, what if I make mistakes? Or what if I don't know the answer to a question or whatever? That's something that I said. That's something that most of my students say. But here's why I think it's so important that you actually show up live for your students, especially when you're starting out. So I think that the course that you create first should absolutely have some sort of live component. I think there should be a start date. I think there should be an end date. I think you should go through the entire thing together with all the students and have that community. And why? Because I want you to get real-time feedback on your course, especially the first, second, and third time that you're launching this course. Do it live. Have a start date, have an end date, have a community, and you all go through it together. And then get feedback, and then make it better next time, right? Don't just have a do-it-yourself course from the get-go. Even if you want your course eventually down the line to be do-it-yourself, which is what a lot of my courses are now. So Autonomous Birth Academy, people can buy it from my website every single day. There's no start date. There's no launching. But why is that possible? Because I did that live launching experience multiple times, 3 or 4 times, and I got enough feedback to change this course and essentially curate the perfect course, curate the perfect emails, the perfect launch, and give my students and my clients amazing results. That would not have been possible if people just did it at your own pace from the beginning and I wasn't able to like get real-time feedback from them. So that's the sixth phase, delivery. You actually deliver your course. They get the login info. Maybe you do live Zoom calls every week or Q&A sessions. Maybe you have a private Facebook group where they can ask you questions. Whatever it is, you deliver your course. That is phase six. A lot of people stop here. A lot of people stop here. But guess what? We're not stopping at phase six, because phase seven is also one of the most important phases. Grow your audience is super important, which is phase one. And then phase seven, which is doing a debrief. Do a launch debrief. And it is really important. And I actually want you to, anytime you like start thinking about creating a launch or creating a course, go into Google Docs, go into your Google Drive, create a Google Doc called Launch Debrief. And you're going to dump all of your ideas of, oops, I did it wrong this time. I'm going to put this idea down so I do it differently next time, right? Or, holy crap, this idea worked really well. I'm going to do that again next time, and I'm going to make it even better. And it is so important that you do this debrief immediately following the launch and delivery of your program. And you could do a debrief about the launch. You could do a debrief about the pre-sale. You could do a debrief about the delivery. And what you're doing, again, is you're just brainstorming all the things that went horribly and what you'll change, and all the things that went well, why they went well, and how you're going to do that again next time. So listen, when I say this, you are going to go through an entire course launch, right? You're going to validate your idea, pre-sell, create, launch, deliver your course. And then immediately following that, you're planning your next one. You're not waiting 6 months or a year till you forget all the things that worked well and all the things that you wish you did differently next time. No, you're literally planning out your next launch, even if it's 6 months away. You are changing all your ideas, getting rid of the ones that didn't work, adding in ones that worked fantastically. And that way you can bet that your launches are just going to get better and better and better as time goes on. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about like what I actually include in a debrief. So give me a second and I'm going to pull up my debrief from Birthworker Academy. All right. So my debrief, I have a big debrief where I really go into details about every single thing I did in the launch. And then I have a shorter debrief, which is like 4 pages on Google Docs. Yes, my short debrief is 4 pages on Google Docs. But I just want to like read out all of the stats that I'm tracking because I want you to understand how analytical running an online business is and launching online courses are. You got to be a numbers person. There's no way around it. You have to be a numbers person. You have to know your numbers because if you don't know your numbers, they're not going to get better next time. So what do I mean when I talk about numbers? I mean how much money, and remember this is me, so this is going to look a lot different than you when you're starting. How much money did I spend on ads? How many new email subscribers did I get during this pre-launch period where I'm getting people excited? How many people visited my sales page? How many people got my freebie? How many people visited my freebie page during this time? How many people registered for my webinar? How many people showed up for my webinar? How many people that registered for my webinar and showed up actually ended up buying my program? How much money did it cost me for every webinar registrant? What was the return on investment I got from the ads that I created? How many sales did I make during the pre-sale? And how many emails did I send? And what was the open rate on those emails? And which email caused the most people to buy during the pre-sale? How many people bought during the actual cart open, during the actual like 7-day launch? Did those people get on my list a year ago? Or are those people brand new to my email list? Did those people come from an ad? Which email did those people click from to then go buy my course? How many of those people landed on my sales page? What was my sales page conversion rate? How many people clicked from my sales page to my checkout page and then converted from there? What was my actual revenue? How much did I spend on affiliates? How many scholarships did I give? What is my actual profit in the end? How many people signed up for a freebie and joined my webinar and bought my course? How many people never even got on my email list and they just straight bought my course from Instagram? How many people bought my course through an affiliate? And so what I do is I collect all of those numbers, and I'm not just collecting numbers. So essentially I'm writing the number down and then I'm saying, why do I think this worked well? Or why do I think this is not a good number? What did I do and what would I do different next time? Or what should I keep doing next time? For instance, I ran a webinar for Birthworker Academy. It blew all of my goals out of the water. The return on my ad spend was insane. It was like better than perfect, and it blew my mind. To be honest, it's probably never going to happen again, and that's okay. But here's the thing that I learned from that. I learned that having people sign up for a webinar through a platform like Calendly, which sends automated text reminders, when I did that, it led to a really good show up rate. So now I'm saying anytime I ever run a webinar, I am going to send people to Calendly and so they can sign up for text reminders to get reminders for this webinar. And so that's something that I wrote down in this debrief. Why? Because I'm not launching, I launched Birthworker Academy in May this year. I'm going to launch it again in November. If I didn't write this down, there is a huge chance that I would not remember what I did well. I would not remember what didn't work, right? Something else that I did that worked really well during that launch was, as soon as someone signed up for the webinar was my launch mechanism. And I think we've talked about launch mechanisms before, but you don't just launch a course and then just put it out there and like think people are going to buy. No, you need to create some sort of like hype. So you need to do a webinar or a challenge, or even just send emails, do like an email launch. Some people do like 3-day video series, and all of those are launch mechanisms. Anyway, when someone would sign up for my webinar, because a webinar is how I sold my course, the immediate email that they got said, hey, we're going to be doing giveaways on the webinar, and reply to this email and vote for which one you want to win, which prize you want to win, and that's how you enter to win the giveaway. That worked so freaking well. I had like 30% of everyone who signed up for the webinar respond to this email. That is such a great idea. I have to do that again. Why? Because it helps my email open rate. It helps my show up rate. I am more than happy to give away prizes to get more people to show up on my webinar. And it actually increased the rate that people trust me. And so my sales rate on the webinar was phenomenal. So all of these little things I am writing down in this debrief, and I am using that to create my next launch. So do not forget the seventh phase, debrief your launch. All right, that was a lot of information, and that was very high level information. So this is very advanced. I would guess that most of my listeners, maybe you, have been thinking about creating an online course, but you're not 100% there yet. Maybe you're still in that phase one where you're just trying to grow your audience. And that's great because I'm so proud of you for growing your audience before spending too much time even thinking about your course. Because we don't want to think about a course until we have the audience and until we validate the idea. Now, thank you for letting me rant about online courses and business and launching, because like I said, we have 40 women who joined Digital Course Academy, and they are now in the Birthworker membership, and we are essentially talking about launches a lot inside my communities right now. So I just had to come and share all these little bits of wisdom with you guys too. Now, I have to tell you guys that the Birthworker membership, I opened it this month, and it's exclusive just to my past students right now. And so there's no way for you to join it yet, but coming up in a few weeks in the middle of October, we're going to be opening the doors to the Birthworker membership. So just keep your eyes on the podcast or on my Instagram. If you are not on my email list, I want you to get on my email list so you do not miss the information when I release it about the membership. Or even better, get on the wait list so you know that I'm going to send you more information about the membership when I have it. You can get on the wait list at birthworker.com/join. And like I said, that is going to be opening mid-October. What is the membership? Well, I will tell you a lot more about it as the month goes on, but it's an entire course. It's called the Complete On-Call, the Online Framework. You're going to get immediate access to that when you join the membership. There's also weekly coaching calls, monthly challenges, advanced business challenges to help you reach your goals with less overwhelm. And then, of course, a private community that I am in every single day answering your questions along with the other, I want to say we have 65 members right now. So we're all birth workers, or I'd say most of us are birth workers. It's called the Birthworker membership. It's geared towards business. So we actually don't talk about birth at all. But it's funny, there were actually people in my community. I grew my audience. I did such a great job nurturing my audience that there are actually people in my community that are not birth workers, but they joined the Birthworker membership because they want to be successful businesswomen, and they see essentially what I've created, and they're like, I want to create that too. So we actually have people who teach gardening, who teach search engine optimization. But the cool thing is that we all have this passion of helping women have autonomous births and avoid birth trauma and just help them start their motherhood journey on a fantastic foot. So again, if you want to hear more about the Birthworker membership, you're going to hear more about it here, of course. But if you want to make sure that you don't miss anything, head over to birthworker.com/join and get on the wait list. And we will be opening that up to you and inviting you in just a few weeks. All right. Thank you so much for being here. And if you are already subscribed to the show, thank you so much. If you have already left a review for the show, thank you so much. If you're not subscribed, make sure to hit subscribe, because next week we are coming back with the number one piece of advice that every single doula needs to hear ASAP. And if you haven't already, leave a rating and review for the show, and then take a screenshot and submit that to birthworker.com/review. Because anytime someone reviews the show, I actually package up a little goodie bag and I send it directly to your house. like, yes, your mailbox with an actual postman, not your email inbox. No, I like literally send you something in the mail. I put a stamp on it and everything. So leave a review for the show. That is the number one way to support me, and I would appreciate it more than you know. All right, that's all for episode 15. I will see you guys right back here next week for another awesome episode.